we got up to some of the great men that worked with David HaMelech, and we said that there were two ideas over here. One of them was, obviously, we're dealing with some strong men that were warriors that did some crazy things for David HaMelech. But we also have some people that were tremendous tzaddikim, right? Now, we have in Pasuk Chav, the Avshai, Achiyov, Avishai really is his name. I don't know why he calls him Avshai over here, but Avishai, the brother of Yavoya, Rosh HaShlosha, he was the head of the three great men. Bo'oris Chaniso used to wield his spear, Al-Shlosh Meos Chalal, and over 300 corpses, killed 300 at once, below Shem Bashlosha, and he had a name among the three. If you notice, the Ksiv over here is Lamed Aleph. In the Kri, the way we read it, is Lamed Vav. It really means that he had a power over them. He wasn't even considered like the three. He was greater than all of them. Min HaShlosh B'Shnayim Nechbod, out of the three, he was more honored. Right, by Yilahem Lasori became the leader of Al-Shlosh Lava, the Al-Shlosh Lava. He didn't compare to the first three that we mentioned up above. Right, all three that we mentioned up above, we already said, was a reference to David HaMelech, that it wasn't really referring to three extra men, it was really David HaMelech. Ben Yehu ben Yoyada, ben Ishchayo Rapa'olim in Kavtse'el, hu hika shnei ariyol moav. Okay, so Ben Yehu ben Yoyada, first a little bit of a story behind it. Ben Yehu ben Yoyada was the head of Sanhedrin, he was a Kohen. Those are two facts that we know. He was also the general of Shlomo Melech's army. He's the one that Shlomo Melech sent in order to find Ashmedai, king of the demons, and has a whole story with him mentioned in Gittin, right? How we found Ashmedai, king of the demons, and some awesome stuff behind him. Now, that's B'nai Yo, B'nai Yada. There may have been two B'nai Yo, B'nai Yadas, one by the times of David Melech, one by the times of Shlomo Melech, but it's more likely that it's both the same person. When Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, better known as the Ben Ish Chai, came to Eretz Yisrael for the very first time, he passed by some of the graves up north, and he noticed a certain grave, and he said, "This is my Gilgal Neshama." And he realized that his Gilgal Neshama was there, and it was B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada's grave. He then named every single one of his Sfarim after B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada. That's why all of his Sfarim are known B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada, Ben Ish-Chai, Ben Ish-Chayel, Rav Pa'olim, Min Kav Tse'il, and Shnei Ariel, right? Every single one is named after something with B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada because he felt that he was the Nitzutz Neshama from B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada, which is pretty awesome. It says, "Hu yarad v'hikas ariv b'soch habor b'yom ha'shalik." He went and destroyed the lion inside a pit, right, where there was barely any room to maneuver, right? He did that on the day of a lot of snow, which is actually, that's kind of awesome. It would make an absolutely unbelievable movie over here, right? But that's what he ended up doing over here. Regardless, hu hikas isha mitzri, he destroyed an Egyptian man, ish mida, a very strong man, chamesh ba'ama, five amas tall. Now, consider that for a second. An ama is a foot and a half, right? Five amas altogether is 7.5 feet tall. That is a massive man. He went up against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? He went up against, you know, like Manute Bol, grabbed his spear, Biyad HaMitzri Chanis, Kimnor Orgim. He had a spear that was as thick as a weaver's beam, this huge thing. Vayered Elabashavet, he came down upon him with a stick. Vayigzol Sechanis Biyad HaMitzri, he stole the spear from the hands of the Egyptian, Vayargeu Bachaniso, and he killed him with the spear that he had. We learn from here what Gezel is. What is the definition of Gezela versus Geneva? Gezela is stealing from the guy right in front of him from his hand. That is Gezela. That's where we learn it from. We learn it from B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada. Ela also B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada V'loshem Ba'shlosha Gibor. He had a name among the three strong men. Mina Shloshim Hino Nechbad Hu. He is one of the most honored of the 30. V'loshosh Lava. Right? But he didn't compare to the first three that we mentioned. V'yisimil David Al Mishmatoi. And again, David HaMelech put him in charge of all the great things that he had over there. Once again, everything over here has a double entendre. It's not that he destroyed a lion on the day of the snow. It's all referring to how we learned Torah so well that even on the days when it's freezing cold outside, he went to the mikveh and he pierced the snow and he went down into the ice in order to go down there. That's what it refers to. There's some unreal midrashim about B'nai-Yo B'nai-Yada, but that's the idea behind it. B'gavori HaChayolam, right now, the strong men, the mighty warriors, there was Asoil, Achiyov, there was Asoil, who was very, very quick. We know about him because he's the one that was killed by, remember, Asoil was killed by? Forget his name. You know it. It's Avner. Avner ben Ner, of course. Yeah, he was the one who was killed by Avner. Elchanan ben Dodo, right? Mi Beis Lachem from Beis Lachem. Now we have a bunch of names. I'm not going to be able to tell you much around here, right? There's a bunch that are mentioned over here. It goes like this. We have Shamus HaHori Chalitz HaPoloni, right? Ira ben Ike Shatkoi, Avi Ezra Ansosi, Sivcha Yehushasi, Eli Achosi, Marian Otofasi, Chil ben Bana Otofasi, Isab ben Riva Migivas ben Binyamin ben Yoho Hapirasoni, Hure Minachle Goash, Avio HaArvosi, Azmovis HaBacharumi, right? El Yachba Hasha'alvoni, I would assume he's from Sha'alvon. Bnei Hashem Hagizoni, Yonatan ben Shagei Hahari. I think Bnei Hashem is his actual name. It doesn't mean the sons of Hashem, but it could be, I don't know. Achiam ben Socher Ha'arari, Elifal ben Ur, Chefra Mechirasi Achia Ploni, Chetzua Carmeli, Na'arai ben Azboi, Yoel Achi Nosan, Mivkar ben Hagrit, Selek Ha'amoni, Nachra Berosi, Nosek Le Yoel ben Tzri, he's the one who carried all the stuff for Yoel ben Tzri, Ira Yisri, Garev Ha'Yisri, Uri Achiti, we know him because he's the one, okay. Zavod ben Achloi, Adina ben Shiza Haruveni, Rosh Luveni, he was the head of all the people of Ruvain.
Galo
shows me had 30 men with him, I'm sorry?
Adina?
Yeah, with the hay is a girl. Adina actually appears, he is the wife of Lavan. Adina is the wife of Lavan. But this Adina is a man, obviously, referring to over there, right? But very good, yeah, like Adin, right? That's what it would be. Chanan b'machav Yoshafat ha-misni, Uziel ha-shtrasi, right? Shama v'iel b'nei chosam ha-aror eri, yidi'ael ben Shimri, the Yocha Ochivatiti, Eliel Machavim, the Rivai, the Oshavia, Bene Onoam, right, the sons of Onoam. We have Yismaha Moavi, Eliel, the Ovid, the Asio Hamitsovya, right, and a bunch of stuff like that. I don't know if we're going to go on any further over here, right? There's a bunch of different variations when we go into Shmuel and we see these names over there. Likely, right, there's a couple over here. Maybe there's some people missing. There could be something like that. That's interesting. Uri Achiti, right, possibly the reason why we stopped over there, it says Shmuel doesn't speak of them because the mention of Uri Achiti brought the list to an abrupt end. Meaning over here, Uri Achiti is not the last person. There's a bunch of people after him. Over there in Shmuel, after Uri Achiti, it stopped. And the reason why is because over there, Uri Achiti was a bad name for David HaMelech. Once they went into Uri Achiti, they were like, ooh, let's stop right there. Because Uri Achiti was the guy that was killed by David HaMelech because of what happened with Bathsheba. Over here, we're not going to mention anything like that. We're not going to mention what happened to David HaMelech in a bad way because that's not the point of Divrei Hayamim. Right? So therefore, we don't have to worry about it whatsoever. And either way, regardless, it's sort of like the Medrash says, it's like a person has a list of all the names in his hand. When he got to a person that he really was upset about, he like dropped the list from his hand. So like over there, that's what happened. Over here, it's not like that. So we don't have to worry about that. We're not going to mention anything like that. There are people that say that there are altogether 36 tzaddikim that are mentioned over here, and they refer to the Lamed Vavniks that you have throughout every generation. They like calling them the 36 hidden tzaddikim. It doesn't say anywhere they were hidden tzaddikim. It just means there were 36 tzaddikim. Like, Chaim Kanievsky could be one of the 36 tzaddikim that keep the world around. They don't have to be hidden. But, like, if you go into Hasidic lore, they're always, like, forest takers, you know, like, stuff like that. It doesn't have to be that way. Perkei Beis, like a shoemaker, right, that shoemaker who did such a great job. Okay, that was that. Yud Beis, guys. Elah Bayim El David Letziklag. Ode Atzur Mipnei Shol. These are the people that came to David HaMelech when he was in Tziklag. This is before when he was hiding from Shol Ben Kish. These are the people that helped him in the war itself, right? There were Noshke Keshes, they held the bows. Maminu Masmilim, there were lefties and righties. Ba'avanim, they were able to use stones, right? Ba'chitim as well as arrows. Ba'keshes as bows. Me'ache Shol bin Binyamin, right? Some of them were the kinsmen of Shol HaMelech from Binyamin. Arosh Achiezer, B'Yoash bin Yashima Givasi, right? So there was Achiezer and Yoash, the sons of Shema. Then there was Yeziel, fellow ben Azmaves, Ubrach v'Yehuan, Soisi v'Yishmaya, right, Hagivoni, some of them we already mentioned, right? Gibor v'Ashloshim v'Ashloshim, V'Yirmi v'Achaziel v'Yochanan v'Yozav v'Agdei Rasi, El Uzai, V'Rimos v'Al Yehu, Shmar Yehu, Ushvat Yehu, Hacharuf Yehokanan v'Yishivya, V'Yishiyahu, right, Azarel, Yoezer, Yashavam, Hakorkim, all those from people from Korach, right, obviously from Sheva Levi. Vio Eila, Uzvadio, Bene Yerochim, Bene Gdor, right, Omina Godi, from the people of God, Nivtul El David, Lamatzad, Hamidbar, they came to, I guess, the soldiers, you know, that came to the wilderness. Gibor Yechel, Anshe Tzavala, Mochama, Orche Tzina, they carried spears, Voroma, or shields and spears. Opene Aryeh Peneim, they looked like lions. Right, Ktsvayim Alahar and Lamahir, they were so quick, they were like deer. Ezor Rosh Ovadia Sheni Aliyah Vashlishi, Mishmana Ravi Yirmiya Hamishi, Atai Hashishi Aliyah Hashvi, Yochanan Hashmini El Zavad Hachi, Yirmiya Asiri, Machbanai Ashtay Asor, there were 11 altogether, Vene God Rosh Yatzava, Echlamiya Katan Vagadol La Elah, they were the people that were there. The least was equal to 100 men, the greatest was equal to 1,000 men. That's how awesome these people were. Elam Esher Abdu was the Avru was the Yard, and they crossed the Jordan River of Bahurish region in the first month in Nisim, Wumala El Gedosav, even though the Jordan River at the time in Nisan, after the whole winter, is obviously the fullest that it possibly could be, they forded the river without a problem. And they chased away all the residents of the valleys to the east and to the west. Nowadays, crossing the Jordan River, even in the winter, is not that big of a deal. The Jordan River is not this huge river that it used to be. But back then, it seems like it was something that was really, really chashuv over there. Now, the people that it says over there, they were the brothers of Shaul HaMelech. They weren't literally brothers of Shaul HaMelech. The reason why they're called brothers of Shaul HaMelech is because they really went against their entire tribe. The whole tribe held, no, we got to stay away from Yehuda. Yehuda's Yehuda, and we are Binyamin. And they had to stay far away as they could from them, right? But it happens to be, right, when they saw that Hashem's will was that David HaMelech was supposed to become king, they left Shaul's dynasty and they went over to David HaMelech. They came out of their country and went to a different country. Like the powerful men, when they leave, like, powerful men, they leave, like, Russia, let's say, and they join the Americans, their enemy. They switched alliances. They defected. Yeah, there we go. That's a better word. It was a really hard one also. Three syllables. That was a difficult one over there. That was that. Okay. This was a precedent. Once people started doing this, everybody was like, oh, you know what? We should also go and stuff like that. So look what it says over here. They came to David's stronghold over here, which eventually, I guess, became the Ir David or Mitzudas David. Not in that area, obviously, because this was all the way down south, but they did it. David went in front of them in war, right? By Yan, by Yom Eleven, he said to them, Imlish Shalom, if you came for peace over here, Basim Eli Lazarini, you came to help me, Yeli Aleichem Levav, then 100% your heart will be with me and everything should be all good, Liachad, and we'll work together, we'll unite. If you're here to trick me for my enemies, below Hamas Bechapai, I didn't do anything wrong. Yere Elohe Avosin of Yochach. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge you for it and pass judgment, right? He really wasn't sure. He had absolutely no idea. But Ruach Lavshas Amasai, there was a spirit that adorned Amasai at that time. Rosh HaShalishim, he was the head of the armies. L'cho David be'imcha ben Yishai. We are with you, David. We are with you, son of Yishai. Shalom, shalom, l'cho. Peace, peace to you. V'shalom lozrecha. And peace to all of those who help you. Ki azorcha lohecha, because God will help you. Ma'ikavlin David name Barosh Yagdud. And David Melech accepted all of them. And that was that. Amasai was 100% over there, right? Even though Amasa was actually from, right, he was from, the son of David's sister, Abigail's. I mean, this was his nephew. Nonetheless, he was in charge of a different army, right? So for David HaMelech to take him in was still a risk that he took. Unfortunately, Yoav was not so happy with that. What did Yoav do when he eventually killed Amasai, the same way he killed Abner? Killed Amasi as well, but David HaMelech was convinced that these troops were 100% with him and that was going to be there. Now they have more. Mimanasha, Nephilah, David, Bebo, and Pelishtim, Al Shaul, HaMelchama. Right, they fell in with David when he accompanied the Plishtim to battle with Shaul and Melcham of Allah as a room, and he did not help them. Remember, he didn't help the Plishtim. The Plishtim had kicked them out before. The officers of the Plishtim sent away saying, Barashini Yipoladonov Shaul, he's going to fall into his master Shaul, which was exactly what David HaMelech's plan was. David HaMelech's plan was to fight with the Plishtim and then eventually turn face, kill the Plishtim, and allow Shaul and Melch to live. That was the plan. But Lechto at Siklug, Nephilah Mimanasha, Adnach Viozavid Viedio, Michol Viozavid, Be'aliu Vitzilso, Russia, Allah from Shalom and Asha, these heads of thousands came when they were on their way to Tziklag. Him Azrim David Alak Dud Ad Ki Gevor Chaim Kulam. Now everybody knows when David HaMelech went back to Tziklag, what happened? He found that the city was burned and all the people were taken. All of his wives and children were taken, and the people were so angry. The Amalekim had come up and taken their wives and kids and went to another direction. David HaMelech chased after them until he could find them. These people came and joined him, but Yusar and Betzava eventually became officers in his army. Kil es yom biyom, right, for constantly, day after day, Yavol David Lazarok, people came to David to help him out, L'machana gadol k'machana elim, until he became a huge camp, a camp of God. Ve'elim yisprei roshay chalutz l'tzava bo'el David Chadrona, they came to David and Melech and Chadron, l'hazi malchus shol, they loved to bring the malchus of shol to him, right, kefi Hashem, like the word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. So all these people defecting. B'nei Yehuda, Neosizina v'romach, sheshet l'alfim v'shmona meyos chalutz l'tzava, there were 6,800 men. They weren't all there beforehand, but now they came. There were 7,100. Now, obviously, if there were 7,100 people from Shimon, you'd think more people than 6,800 of Yehuda. But it could be people of Yehuda were already on David HaMelech's side. These were just 6,800 men that came in addition to the thousands upon thousands of men that David HaMelech already had from Yehuda itself. That's the most likely when it comes to anything else. Nibnei Alevi from Levi, Arba Zalef and Shesh Meos, or 4,600. Yo Yada Hanagila Aromi Ima Shloshes Alef and Shesh Meos. Yo Yada, he was the king of the Kohanim at the time. They had 3,700. Tzadok Nar Givor Chayu is a Tzadok as well. He's the one who's going to be Tzadok HaKohen Gadol at some point. Based off of Sarin, Esrim Shalim, there were 22. All of these people were ready to become Kohen and Gedolim. Minibay Binyamin Achishol, Shloshes Alef, and there were 3,000 at Hena Marbi Sum, right? And most of them had maintained Shomrim Mishmar's Beis Shol. They were the ones who guarded the Beis Shol. They defected and went over to David Melech, even though Ish Baal was made king. At this time, they defected over to David. Mini Bnei Ephraim, Esrim Elov Shemona Meos, 28,000, I'm sorry, Givorecha, Anshe Shemos Levesov, some each one powerful. Nechatzimat Menashe Shemona Asar Elov, there were 18,000 from the other part of Menashe, Ashenikbu Beshemos, they all had special names. Avod Lahamlech is David, they came to make David king. Mini Yisachar, Yodi Bnei Litim, they were very understanding people. Adas Mayas El Yisrael, they knew what Bnei Yisrael needed. Roshem Asayim, Pecholachem Alpiyam, there were 200 heads, right, and all the people followed behind them. I would assume this means just the chiefs, the people in charge. Mizvulin Yotzei Tzav, the people that go out to war, Ochamachamah, Vachochleim, Ochamah. Chamishim Allah, 50,000, Vlada Belalev, Belalev, right? And there were other people who came without any hesitancy whatsoever. They didn't think about it. They just came to help. Minaftali Sarim Aleph, there were 1,000, again, generals. Vimon Batzina Vachanis, Shloshim Mishivel, 37,000 people came with their swords and spears. Minadoni Orcham Ochamah, Asim Mishwana Aleph, 28,000 Mishishmos and 600 altogether. Miyashi Yotzi Tzavo, Larch Mochamah, Arbayim Aleph, 40,000 from Asher, May Averly Yardim Ruvenim, Vagod Vachatzi Shem Menashe, from the other side of the Jordan River, from Reuven Gud, and they have to shave the Menashe, Kholhi Tzavo, May of Asim Aleph, 120,000. That's pretty awesome altogether, right? How many people came? Kholan Shem Mochamah, Odre Mochamah, Belev, Shalom, Bol Chavro, the King of Chavro, the Gam, everybody in Bnei Yisrael, they had one heart to be Mamlech David and make him the king over everybody else. Everybody had the exact same idea. They all wanted to go together. So now, together with them, he not only had soldiers, he had political advisors, he had military advisors, according to the Mitzudos, he had legal advisors, according to Rabbi Yonah ben Ibn Yanach, quoted by the Radak. He had experts in the Jewish calendar that came from Yisachar, according to the Radak, and he had great Torah scholars that all came with them. All of them had no uncertainty, no hesitancy. They were ready to make sure that David HaMelech was going to become king forever and ever. By Yusham. And they were there. Im David Yamim Shlosha, for 3 days, Ochlam Vishosam, eating and drinking, but their brothers had prepared massive meals for them. Nagama Krovim Alayim, and all the people that were close to them, Yisachar, Zulun, Naphtali, Mevim, Lechem, Mechamorim, Megmalim, Vapradim, Vabakar. They brought forth bread and donkeys and camels and mules and cattle. Machol Kemach Tevelim. They brought food made by flour as well as big cakes with timukim and big raisins, behind the shemen and oil and wine. Ubaka Vitzon Lerov and many cattle and sheep. Ki Simcha B'Yisrael was a massive Simcha on B'nei Yisrael with everything good that was happening over there. Vayivoetz David. I'm sorry, Lof Ameos. David HaMelech then consulted with the officers of thousands and the officers of hundreds, the whole Nagid, to every single leader. He consulted with all of them and he asked some questions. Vayomer David L'chol Kal Yisrael, Im Aleichem Tov, Min Hashem Elokeinu Nivtzach Nishcha Alachinu HaNisharim B'chol Ha'aretz Yisrael. Right? If it's good for all of you guys, number one. And if it's good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nifritza, right? Let's send far and wide to all of our brothers that remain in all the Eretz Yisrael, V'imam, HaKohanim, V'levim, all the Kohanim, V'levim, Armi, Gushem, Yikav, Tzu, Elena. I want everybody to gather toward us. Now, this is after Ish Baal is gone. Yehuda is officially in charge, and David HaMelech is the official king at this time. He sent to all of them and said, it's time for everybody to come to me. I'm gathering everybody together to bring back the Aron Kodesh. V'nasaba is Aron Eleinu Eleinu. I want to bring the Aron of Hashem to us. He lo durashnu b'mei shol, because they never asked about it. They never wanted to bring them to in the days of shol. V'yamar kol kal asos kain. All of the kal said they wanted to do this. Ki yashar dover v'nei kol am. Everybody said, great idea. So all the people were gathered from Shichor Mitzrayim, that was the river of Mitzrayim, all the way to Levo Hamas, all the way to the area of Hamas, which is all the way up north, by Dun. Did you ever go up that way?
Where?
All the way up north, by Lebanon. Were you ever in the Lebanese side? You were that far up? Huh. Interesting. I'd always wanted to be up there. I'd never been there. They wanted to bring the Aron of Hashem from Kiryas Arim. Now remember, when the Plishtim had stolen the Aron Kodesh when they went to war with the Jews years and years and years ago, they had brought the Aron to the god of Dagon, right? Dagon's crushed and whatever it was. So they brought the Aron back with those cows and the wagons and everything like that. They left it in Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh did not treat it properly. The people of Beit Shemesh did not treat it properly, and therefore 50,000, something like that, people died during that time. So they said, all right, we got to get rid of it. So they got rid of it, and they gave it over to Kiryas Arim, and they treated it with reverence. In Kiryas Arim, they brought it all the way to the top of the mountain. Surprisingly, today, that's where Neve is, where the yeshiva of Neve is, right? That's where it was kept for years and years and years. And eventually, David HaMelech said, it's time to bring it back. David HaMelech and all Bnei Yisrael went up to Bala, two Kiryas Arim Asher Yehuda. Lahalos Misham Azan Elokim Hashem. They wanted to bring up the Arun Elokim of Hashem. Now, I'm going to point out a couple things over here. Number one, David HaMelech wanted to make sure that there was a ton of people available for the transfer of the Aron Kodesh. He wanted it to be becoveted. He didn't want it to be just like three people grabbing the Aron and bringing it over, and that was going to be it. He wanted to make sure that everything was there, but he did not command them. He consulted with them, and he said, I think this is a good idea. What do you guys think? And he agreed at the end of the day. They all agreed it's going to be there. Second thing, if you notice, this is the only time in all of Tanakh, in Pasuk Gimel, where it says, Aron Eloheinu. Aron Elohim, it says all over the place. But Aron Eloheinu, it doesn't say anywhere. Aron of our God. What in the world does that mean over there? So it's possible that David did this to evoke all the people's feelings. It's the Aron of our God. We deserve to have it in the base of Mikdash, right? And we deserve to have the proper respect over here. They said that they didn't treat it properly and everything like that, and therefore David was criticizing them, but he said it's time to bring it up to Yerushalayim to bring it together with everybody else. And now it says they brought up the Aron Elokim Hashem Yoshev HaKruvim, who sits among the Kruvim, right, which is an interesting name right over here. I guess this is the best name that's there because it was so powerful. Shnikra Shem, right, which is called by God's name. By Arkivos Aron Elokim Ala Gala Chadasha. They brought the Aron of Hashem on a brand new wagon, mi beis Avinadav, from the house of Avinadav, the Uzzah, the Achyo, Nohag Bagala. And Uzzah and Achyo, his sons, they led the wagon over here. Now, Chazal tell us this was a massive mistake on David HaMelech's part. He thought, the thought process was, that the only time that you carry the Aron Kodesh on your shoulders, right, and where the Kohanim and the Levim would carry it, the people of Kehas would carry it on their shoulders, that was by the Midbar. But after the Aron Elokim was brought to, what's it called, to Shiloh, the Aron Elokim was never carried again, and if it would be carried, it should be carried not by Kohanim and Levim, but on a wagon. His raya was that the Plishtim put it on a wagon, and the wagon brought it over to Eretz Yisrael, so clearly the Aron Elokim could ride on a wagon itself. That was a massive mistake, and Chazal say, it was a childish mistake. He had asked the question to Achitofel, and Achitofel unfortunately messed up in his answer. Achitofel gave the wrong answer as to what he should have done in this case. Unfortunately, it led to the death of Uzzah, right, who ended up doing something that was a little bit crazy, right, but that's what ended up happening over here. Now, what had happened exactly? So it says, the David B'chol Yisrael, notice that David HaMelech in this case has the Yud in his name again, Misachakim with Nelokim, they were dancing in front of the Aron of Hashem, B'chol Oyes, with all their strength, B'shirim, B'kin, Oros, B'nevolim, B'tzupim, B'tziltim, B'chatzotzes, all these different types of instruments. B'avod, Gorin, Kidon, they came to an area called Kidon, B'yishach, Uzaz, Yado, Chazal say, they took 8 steps. That's all they took. 8 steps. And Uzzah sent out his hand to grab the Aron Kodesh, Kisham to Abakar, because the cattle slipped. Chazal say it was done on purpose to make this happen, so they saw how bad it was. And Uzzah was like, oh! You know, how like you have that reaction of like it's about to fall. Vayicharaf Hashem be'Uzzah. You always have that dream, right, of the guy holding the Sefer Torah, of it like dropping, and you run, and you like catch it right before it hits the ground, right? That was Uzzah. Uzzah had it. Yeah, I know you've been dreaming about that. No, it happens all the time. They came, Hashem's wrath flared against Uzzah. He smacked him because he put his hand out to the Aron Kodesh, and he died there in front of HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, now what was Uzzah thinking? Uzzah was thinking that once the Aron Kodesh is on the wagon, it is now susceptible to falling. This was absolutely the wrong thing to think. It was absolutely not true. There's no way that anything like that can happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu on purpose did this. He wanted the Aron to appear like something was happening, right? So that something would happen. Now Uzzah fell for it. And Uzzah thought like, oh my gosh. He should have understood that if the Aron Elokim can carry people, what did it do by the Yarden River? Carried them over the Jordan River. You better believe it has the ability to hold its own when there's cattle, when there's a wagon that's carrying it. But that was 100% the problem. Uzzah right over there.
Uzzah took the fall for David, basically.
I'm sorry?
Uzzah took the fall for David.
Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, that's what's going to be. There is a great medrash over here. As Tani Avelio Rabba says, immediately they placed down the wagon, the oxen slipped away, and the ark was left suspended between heaven and earth. It wasn't like falling. It was literally hanging in the air, right? Uzzah was standing at its side and stretched out his hand and grabbed it and was like, that's so cool. So it wasn't that he was protecting it from falling, but rather grabbing because that it was awesome. At that moment, the baser elements of the Jewish people said, had Uzzah not seized the ark, then it would have fallen to the ground. Therefore, Hashem killed Uzzah. His grip loosened and fell away, but the Aron remained standing in the air. At that moment, everybody knew the Aron did not need human intervention in order to keep it from falling. So had Uzzah not reached up, nobody would have thought that way, and there wasn't any worry whatsoever. Uzzah made everyone think that the Aron was a powerless thing in the world, and therefore he deserved to die, right? That's an inadvertent Chil Hashem, and that's why he was killed over here. However, he was a tremendous man, and he did have the right intentions, and therefore he did go to Olam Haba. He did not lose his chelik in Olam Haba. He went straight to Olam Haba. He did, I don't know if he passed go or collected $200 on the way there. He definitely, I would assume, got the boardwalk. You know what I'm saying, right? That works. Vayikar Ludavi Kiparot Hashem Peretz Be'uzah. Hashem was upset that such a breach happened by Uzzah. Vayikar Lamakamahu Peretz Uzzah Yomazeh. Hashem, he called that place Peretz Uzzah until that day. The word is not angry. He was upset at himself. He allowed this to happen, and it happened under his watch, which means he's the one that messed up here. Vayir David Elokim Bayomahu. Hashem, David HaMelech feared God on that day. Lemor, Heich Avi Elias Aron Elokim. How could I have done this to myself? Elohisir David Aron Elov. Al Ir Davi El Ir Davidi. Did not bring it over to Ir Davi. Vayatel Abis Oved Adom Agiti. He brought over instead to bait the house of Oved Adom, the Giti. Now, he was not a non-Jewish person, not from Gas. Oved Edom was a Jew who grew up in Gas and eventually came back. He's the one that came over here. He was a Levi, Oved Edom. Vayishav Aron Elokim in base Oved Edom beveso shlosh Hashem. It stayed there for 3 months. Vayivarach Hashem is base Oved Edom as kol shalom. He blessed him with tremendous amounts of children, lots of stuff over here. Oved Edom means he was a servant, and he reddened David's face in embarrassment when David saw how great of a servant he was. That's the idea behind it. David HaMelech went down to the lower level of fear. Oved Edom showed that you can serve God out of love. That made David HaMelech embarrassed from what happened over here. What are you going to ask, Dave?
I don't remember the story when it actually happened, but David, when he did he consult the Urim Tumim, like to also like figure he was doing the right thing, like
to bring the Aron Elokim?
Yeah.
The assumption is yes.
Because he had the Kohen Gadol with him.
Yeah, we see him constantly asking the Urim Tumim. So the assumption is yes, he did ask the Urim Tumim. However, at some point during David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech's reign, the Urim Tumim stopped. When it stopped, I don't know, but it may have already stopped. And that's the reason why he
didn't consult with
it. It should have
already stopped because
yeah.
He wouldn't have made those decisions.
Or maybe he did, and nonetheless these things happened. It could be. It's possible that that's going to be there. He might not have asked how to bring it, though. He might have said, should I bring the Aron Elokim to Yerushalayim? And the Urim Vitum said, yes. So I can't tell you that. That I don't know. Right? The magic Ouija board. The good Ouija board. That's really what the Urim Vitum was. It was like a Ouija board. But we use it, the Ouija board is Bitumah. Vayishlach Huram Melech Tzor Malachim El David. Now, Hiram, the king of Tzor. Hiram is a good friend. He's been around us for quite a while. He was the friend of Yehuda, which means that Hiram was over 900 years old at this time. Chazal tells us that he may have lived to the age of 1200, to the end of the first base of Mikdash. That's how old Hiram was. He was a king of Tzor. Malachim Adavid sent messengers to Atzia, Razim, Harshe, Kir. He sent cedarwood, cedarwood itself, and carpenters of the wall, Vacharshe, Eitzim, Livnos, Levais, as well as carpenters of wood to build the base of Mikdash. David HaMelech knew that Hashem had established him as king over all of Yisrael. Because his kingdom was greatly exalted for all the people of Bnei Yisrael himself, he knew. Once people started sending him gifts because of his greatness, he knew, this is awesome. This is exactly what's good for me. Vayikach David od nashim b'Yerushalayim, he took other wives. Vayikach David od banim uvanos, he took other sons and daughters over here, right? Oh, I didn't realize, we're done with... as a side note, by the way, Oved Edom, is mentioned as one of the people that has a chelik. He went up to Gan Eden alive. Another person that may have gone up to Gan Eden alive was Hiram, the king of Tsur. Hiram, king of Tsur, because of all that he did for David Melech, even though he wasn't Jewish, may have been a person who has gone to Gan Eden alive, which is absolutely awesome. Now, the reason why he sent so much cedar wood is because, obviously, cedars are very uncommon in Eretz Yisrael. The last time I flew over Turkey, the last time I was in Eretz Yisrael, it's amazing how many forests there are. It's like the plane doesn't fly so high, so high in the air, because Turkey is not so far away from Eretz Yisrael. Plus, the mountains are so high in certain areas of Turkey. There's tons of wood in southern Turkey. I've never been to Lebanon. I have absolutely no idea, and I don't know if it's changed since back then, but it seems to have been a huge forest area with tons and tons and tons of wood, right, that went around there, and therefore it was very easy to be able to send them these types of gifts to be able to go through there, something that Bnei Yisrael did not have. There are forests in Eretz Yisrael, but not sustainable forests in which you could have sustainable forestry, etc. Once he lived in Yerushalayim, he had more wives, and therefore more sons and daughters. Right? This may be the Shlomo Melech that we're used to. It may not be. The question is why Shlomo Melech would have been mentioned fourth over here. It could be something totally different. We're not positive. Right? The Nogam and Efek V'Afia, V'Elishama, right? The V'El Yada, right? And Eli Fulet, right? Eli Fulet over there. And we also have Ayish. Oh, that's interesting. El Pullet and Eli Fullet seems to be the same exact name, doesn't it? Could be it's two different people.
Yeah.
It would just be weird. Seems like that would be interesting over there. Okay. Either way, regardless, let's see what happens over here. This seems to be, and it's possible, this is totally out of order. The Pelishim heard that David HaMelech had been anointed as the king over all of Israel. Whether this is in order or not, I'm not positive. It could be it's all in order. It could be it's not in order. We're not sure exactly what happened over here. So they said that he had been anointed as king over all of Israel. They went to seek out David. So David heard, and he went out for them. Now, here's the deal. The Pelishim weren't sure what to make out of David. David, after all, was on their side for a very, very long time, right? When he was in Siklag, he was on the Pelishim's side. For all they knew, he was killing other Jews, and now all of a sudden he's in charge of the Jews because Shaul was killed. They didn't know that David HaMelech had never killed a Jew in his life, that he had gone down to the Amalekim and the other Pelishim, whatever, and destroyed them down there. They had absolutely no idea. They also were not sure what happened, right? Whether or not he was still friends with Achish, whether other things were like that. They were never worried about Bnei Yisrael. They were never a united country. They were never a strong country. They weren't something they had to worry about. Yes, Shaul HaMelech was king for a while, but it wasn't like they had a united front that they could go up against them. Now that David HaMelech was there, they wanted to assassinate him. They wanted to decapitate him, make sure that he wasn't going to be in charge, because if he united them, then it would be very dangerous to have people that's right there, right, going around at the same exact time, right? And they also wanted to know, is he on our side? When David HaMelech went out to them to fight a war, when they came out to greet him, they realized, oh, this is not the David HaMelech that we know. It's not going to work well. The Pelishim came by Yivshidu Be'emek Rephaim. They spread out by Emek Rephaim. Now think about that for a second. We all know where Emek Rephaim is, right? That street right outside Yerushalayim. That's not that far from Yerushalayim itself. The Pelishim came very, very deep into Eretz Yisrael. It's not like they were stopped at the borders. They came all the way up, maybe a mile or two from the old city. Vayishal Dov Elohim Lemor. Oh, there you go. David HaMelech asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, but this might be out of order. Could be it's out of order. He asked the woman, Ha'ala al plishtim, when it's satum biadi. Should I go up to the plishtim? Will you put them in my hands? Vayomelo Hashem, Ale, when it's satum biadach, I'm going to put them in your hands. Vayalu b'val parotin. They came up to Baal Parotin, this area right over there. Vayakim shem David, David killed them there. Remember, David parot alohim, so I vibe yaldi keferetz mayim. Hashem made a breach among them as water breaches. Akin koshem makom ahu Baal Parotin. Vayazu shem alohim, they left their gods there. The plishtim left their gods there. Vayomer David, Vayisor fabesh. David HaMelech then commanded, and they burned them all, right, in fire itself. So they were all in Baca. That's interesting, they said it right over there. But yeah, that's where Baca is. Baca and Talpiot is right by Emek Rephaim. And we said right over there. Over here, it's interesting. We all know that there's two things you can't do by the Urim V'Tumim. You're not allowed to ask two questions, and you can't ask the same question twice. Over here, he asked two questions. Look at the questions. He said, should I go up onto the Pelishim? Will you put them in my hands? And Hashem said, Alei Nesatav Yodcha. Why was he allowed to answer both? The answer is because both these questions were really together as one. If I go up against the Pelishim, will you put them in my hands? It's really one question, and therefore it was going to be okay. But therefore he was allowed to ask both questions as it should be without a question whatsoever. It was like a knife going through water when he went against them, and that's that. They abandoned their idols in the fields. They didn't believe in them when they went to the fields, and that's whatever it is, right? When it says over here that they carried off, Rabbi Asher Shem Salim, by Yomar David, Yisrofo Beish, that they went ahead and they burned them in a fire itself. They obviously did not benefit from the idols whatsoever. Anything that they could burn, they went ahead and burned. It could be that when Goyim are mevatel, the power of their idols, that the idols become mutter. If there's a golden idol and a non-Jew like cuts off its nose, or like, I don't believe in this anymore, that automatically makes the gold mutter to use. So it could be that they took a non-Jew, muttered everything, and everything was going to be over there. Chazal say that Itai Hagiti did it all. Itai Hagiti was called in. They said, go be mevatel everything. He was a goy, but he believed in God. He was mevatel everything, and that allowed David HaMelech to take the precious metals from what they had over there. Awesome. Vayisiv Od Pelushim. Vayiv Shduva Emek. They again spread out in the valley. Vayisha Od David Be'elohim, and he asked Hashem again, Vayim Elohim, Lo Sala Achrayim. Don't go up that way, Hasev Me'aleim. Turn away from them, Vosalam Mimola Bechayim. Instead, turn around, go opposite the Bechayim, which are the mulberry trees. Vayikishamachas Kol HaTzaad V'Rashah Bechayim. And it will be when you hear the sound of marching at the tops of the Bechayim, Oz Tetzim Mohammed, that's when you go out to work, Yatzol Elohim Lefanecha, Lahakuz Machaneh Pelushim, because God is going in front of you to knock down the camp of the Pelushim. What that means is that when you hear that, that's as if the Malachim up in heaven are fighting, and the Pelushim Malach is being destroyed from before the Malachim that I put in your place. And once the Malachim are gone, guess what happens? The nation becomes extremely easy to be able to destroy. You don't have to worry about anything whatsoever. Now this is awesome, because this is a massive test. Everything that Hashem has told him has been sort of easy so far. But now, Hashem's telling him, I want you to go from behind. Now, David HaMelech could have had Akasha. God, if you're really with me, why would I have to go behind? Why don't I just fight them straight up? You've allowed me to fight straight up before, and I've won every single time. It's not like they're a powerful nation. Why don't I just go straight up? But Hashem said, no, go around the back. And that was the challenge, and David passed the test. Every time somebody becomes king, there is a test to pass. Like Shaul HaMelech had with Amalek, David HaMelech had with this itself. He would... did not have to worry about that. He went the other way around and did it exactly through that to make it look like it was natural means itself. Now, what does it mean that there was noise on top of the trees, right? There was something around there. So some say it's referring to the angels. The angels themselves are going to make noise. You're going to hear noise on top of the trees. That's when you know. Number two, it could be that the rustling of wind atop the trees sounded like a troop. Sounded like something was there. It would inspire David's men to fight like great warriors. That's how great they were going to be. However, it could be a tactical ruse. The rustling of the mulberry trees sounded like there was an entire army going forward, right? When the wind blew, the Plishtim thought it was just the trees, but it was really David HaMelech's army going through. But they said, like, oh, it's nothing. It's just the trees. It's just the trees. And all of a sudden, David HaMelech's army came out of nowhere, and they're like, oh, we're wrong. We're bad. My bad, right? And they all died because of it. They were completely unaware, and they were able to be crushed when it came through there. But that's that. Hashem went down and destroyed the camp of the Plishtim. Finish off the parak. It says, Vayas David Kasher Tziva Elohim. David HaMelech did everything Hashem commanded him to do, right? That was that. It says, V'yakos machne pelushim v'givon v'ad gazra. They destroyed absolutely everything, right? And that's that. Fine, period. It says, V'yitz Hashem David v'chol ha'aretzos. David, you know, it could be, right? That was a challenge. What does it mean David did as God commanded him? It could be that the Plishti army did find them, and they started chasing after them, and the wind had not blown yet on top of the Bechayim. And David HaMelech stayed put. As everybody was saying, like, David, we have to run. David, we have to go. David's like, nope. Mulberry trees haven't moved yet. We're not doing anything till the mulberry trees move. When the mulberry trees move, then he said, all right, now we're going. And that's what they did. Because if you believe in God that much, you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be on your side. He went, all his fame went out throughout all the lands. His fear was upon all of the nations of the world itself. That was the idea. The complete obedience that he had to God's word was what made him so great in the eyes of everyone else. That's the idea behind it. Let's see, Pasuk Aleph, guys, in Parak Tesvav. We'll be able to finish this parak, I think. Basel, Baltimore, Yer David. He made houses in the year of David, in the city of David. We have a Makom La'aron Elokim. He also made a place for the Aron Elokim to go. Ve'yet Lo'ohel. He made a special tent for that. Also, where David Lo'ohel says, Aron Elokim Kim Elavim. He made a decision. You know what? We're going to bring the Aron back, right? But we're not going to carry it by the wagons. We're going to carry it by Levium. Because those are the ones that God chose to serve for God, right, and to carry it forever and ever. So he realized that he had made a mistake. Now he's trying to get around that mistake. He gathered all of them to Yerushalayim, to bring up the Aron HaKadosh to the place where he prepared for it. And he brought together, he gathered together all the Aron and the Levim. Libnei Kos, Uriel Hasarv, Echov Me'ev Esrim, 120 of his brothers. Le Merari, Asoya Hasarv, Echov Masayim Esrim, 220. Libnei Gershom, Yoel Hasarv, Echov Me'ev Eshloshim, 130. So altogether we have 121, We have 221 and 131. Those are the ones that were around there. Livnei Ali Tzafon, Shmaya Asar Ve'achav Masayim, another 200. Livnei Chevron, Aliyah Asar Ve'achav Shmonim, Livnei Uziel, Aminadav Asar Ve'achav Mea Ushneim Asor, 112 altogether. He gathered all of them together and made sure that everybody had everything that they needed in order to work perfectly over here. This time, they were going to do it very differently. Number one, it was going to be on the shoulders of the people of Kos, right? So it wouldn't be on a wagon itself. That was number one. Number two, there were going to be guards around the Aron, right? That was going to be a big one. That guards around the Aron so that nobody touches it. Number three, there were going to be korbanos offered at intervals along the way. Number four, the finest Leviim musicians would be organized to sing the entire time while it's going. Number five, David HaMelech was going to lead the procession of dancing and everything like that up until they came out to everybody else right around there. That's that, right? And that is the idea behind it. This is all to make sure that everything happened perfectly without any problem whatsoever, and they wouldn't have to worry about all the crazy things that was happening up until now. So that's that. So we say, Vayikra David L'Tzadok of Yasser HaKohanim. David HaMelech called out to Tzadok and Yasser the Kohanim. Tzadok and Yasser were future Kohanim Gedolim. V'Alavim L'Urio, Asaya V'Yol, Shmaya Elio, and Aminadu. V'Yom Elohem. Atam Rosh Elvaz L'Avim, you're in charge of L'Avim. Yiskachu Atam V'Acheichem, you and your brothers should become holy. V'Alisim V'Sarun HaShem L'Kei Yisrael, Elachi No Silo. You should bring the Aron to the place that I prepared for. Kilim V'Rishon Elo Atam Paratz HaShem L'Keinu Banu. Because it wasn't you guys, right? It wasn't you guys who didn't do, you know, when Hashem dealt harshly with us, Kilo Drashnu Kamishpat. We did not search him out properly. They Skachua Kohanim Alavim. They all became holy, the Kohanim Alavim. Lalos is Aron Hashem Alakai Israel, to bring up the Aron of Hashem, the God of Israel. Vayisu B'nei Alavim is Aron Alakim Kashur Tziva Moshe Kidbar Hashem B'chsefam B'motos Aleim. They brought up on their shoulders with the poles upon them. Yerodav Lusari Alavim, he set out to the office of Alavim. Lahamid is Achayim HaMeshorim B'chlei Shir Nevolim Kinozim Metzoltayim Mashmiim Laharim B'kol Simcha. He told them, guys, sing loud. I don't just want the cymbals out there. I want an extremely loud noise to be made by everybody around there. Now, there were groups over here, okay? Now, we all know there were three Levi families. It was Kohath, Gershon, and Merari all together, okay? Each one of the people that's going to be mentioned over here is going to be from one of the groups. Haman was from Kohath, Asaph was from Gershon, and Asan was from Merari. There was also a guy named Hananiah, who was an expert singer, that everything he did, he was a tremendous, tremendous singer. That was going to be there as well. There were going to be buffers. According to the Malbim, here's what happened. There were seven Kohanim that marched at the head, blowing trumpets, right? They were the ones who were going to make way for Prince Ali, etc., right? They were the ones going in the front. Two Kohanim walked between them and the Aron to make sure that nothing happened. The Aron was then carried by the Levium themselves, the people of Kos. Two Levies walked behind the Aron, so there would be another buffer over there. Finally, the musicians, the vocalists, and the instrumentalists who walked last. Behind all of them was David HaMelech and all of the people accompanying as it went forward. Haman, Asaph, and Asan were all prophets. They all helped David HaMelech right up to Hillam, right? It could be that Asan and Yedusun are the exact same person. So even though in the other Shmuel Navi says Yedusun, it could be it's the exact same person over here. There also could be, okay, we'll see. V'yamidu alavim is Haman ben Yoel, min Echav Asaph ben Berechia, min b'nei Merari Acheyam, Asan ben Kushayahu. So here we go. They had Haman, they had Asaph, there was Asan. V'imam Acheyam Mishnim, and with them were the secondary in command, right? Zachar Yohu ben, V'azio Ushmiramais, V'achil v'uni Eliyav u'benaya, u'maseyahu, u'matisyahu, Elif Lehu, right, umik neyahu, va'ovid adom v'yidil ha'shoarim. Those are the gatekeepers, the people that were going to be in charge of there. Again, Zechariah ben, I don't know if Zechariah was a name and ben is its own name, because if you look at it, by the way, do you notice the truck? Pazer, 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 Pazer. So it sounds like they're all separate names. Zechariah was a name, Bain is a name, Yaziel's name. It's not Ben, it's Bain. So it's possible that his name was Ben, the same way that we have a guy by the name of Abba.
It does it again also. For look, in the pasuk, continue on.
Oh, hold on the shorim, right? And the singer, the singers that were going to be in charge over here, right? So it goes like this: Haman, Asaph, the Asam, the Mitzeltayim, Nechosh Lashmiya. They were the ones who used the brass cymbals. Zechariah, Aziel, Ushmiramos, V'Yechiel, V'Uni, V'Aliyav, Maseyu, U'Bnei'ahu, B'Nevelam Alamos. They used the lyres. Alolamos. Now, what's alolamos? What does that mean over here? Some say it's a musical instrument that does soaring sounds, right? Something like that. Some say it refers to organs, right? And that's that. Others say it refers to hidden things, right? That each part was hidden so that they didn't have just whatever. It was just played in a very happy, lively way. Or number three, alamos means with intensity, right? In the plumbing the depths of the song, the heart of the musician itself. That's what we're referring to over here. So either way, so it refers to alamos. Matis yo, alef layu, amekini yohu, bo bid adam yio v'azaryo b'kinos al-shminis. They were playing on the kinoros on the eighth string l'natzeach. Right, like Alam Natzeach. Uchnan Yohu, Sar Levim B'masa, he was Sar Levim when it came to the shoulder burdens. Yasur B'masa, Kim Evin Hu. Vurechya, Velkana, Sho'arim L'Aron, they were gatekeepers for the Aron. Ushvan Yohu, Yoshafat, Munisana, B'amasa, Uzachar Yohu, B'na Yohu, V'Eliezer, Hakwanim, Machtsirim B'chatzos, they would blow the Chatzos, L'Vnei Elokim, Aron Elokim. V'obirin V'chiyah, Yoshuarim L'Aron, they were gatekeepers. V'yidavid, Ezekneso, Avazar, Yalofim, Ahokim, L'Alos, Zaron, B'rit Hashem, Min Beis, Avidadum, B'simcha, they came to bring it up. Bisimcha, they did it with a tremendous amount of simcha. What were you gonna say?
Nothing. Keep going.
You didn't see Ben. Vayibe bezor Elohim es Levim, and it happened that when God helped the Levim, they were carrying those Aaron and Brit Hashem who carried the Aaron and Brit Hashem. Shiva Parm Shiva Elim. They shechted seven cows and seven bulls and seven rams. The reason why they did this, because they realized they did not bring korbanos the first time. They want to make sure that everything was to be done the best possible way. So they did this as like a predecessor, like, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for what's going to happen in the future. We hope that everything's going to work really, really well when it comes into this. Oh, I forgot to mention this from up above. I forgot to say this up above. It says over there that he was a masa. He says, Yosor v'masa, there was Chanan Yahu, Sar Levim masa. Masa is lifting up your voice and singing in extremely high tones. It was a prophecy as well. People that were able to sing in that way, for some reason, were also able to, they were inspired by the connection with the Shekhinah itself. This is why many times they used music. Like when Elisha needed to get a nevuah, he asked for a musician. Shalom Elch had to get himself better, he asked me for a musician. Levim played in the Simchas Beis Shoeva all night long. You could draw down, that's why it's called Shoeva. You drew down the Shekhinah to you when you played this type of music. That's how awesome the Masa was and what he was able to do over here. That's number one. The Korbanos that they ended up bringing over here, he specifically wanted to make sure that there was something that they would be able to do to make sure. It's possible that the first time that when they used the wagon itself, right? The Kohanim tried putting the Aron Kodesh on the wagon, right? David HaMelech asked Achitofel what to do. Achitofel told him to slaughter Korbanos and everything was going to be fine. And for that ended up happening. Perhaps the Korbanos was going to be good enough that would be good enough to be able to go through. Chazal tell us they offer Korbanos every six steps. It's a lot.
It's not legit.
Right, it says the David Mechurbal b'me'il butz. David HaMelech was donned, he clothed in a linen robe. V'chol Levim nosim s'ar in all the Levim. Right, they were dancing in front of the Aron Kodesh. V'meshorim v'chanani asar hamasam v'meshorim v'al David ephod bad. Right, so they all had this ephod bad, this very very linen thing. David HaMelech wanted to blend in with the people, so he wore regular clothing on top of his ephod bod. But the Kohanim themselves, they only wore the ephod bod. It was something that was going to be really, really nice that he brought more than anything else. The Chol Yisrael Malam Es Aron Bris Hashem B'Truo B'Kol Shofar. They brought it up with shouts and shofars. V'Chatzotzim L'Tzoltayim Mashmi'in Revelon. You can notice V'Yi Aron Bris Hashem Ba'ad Ir David. It came all the way to Ir David. Michal Vashol Nishkava V'Arachlon. Michal Vashol was looking through the window. V'Ateres HaMelech David Merakin U'Mesamech V'Tevez Lo Beliva. She saw David HaMelech dancing and singing the way that he was, and she despised it, right? She could not stand it whatsoever. She couldn't understand why anything was there. It doesn't say anything else. We know that eventually she goes up to David HaMelech and says, oh, you were so honorable today. Everybody saw your skin today. She said to David HaMelech later, and David HaMelech said, yeah, where's your father? You know why? Because your father didn't honor the Aron Kodesh like I did, right? Now we do it a million times over. Right, that's what he said. But it doesn't say that over here, because again, it's a criticizing, you know, what she did to him, and that's not what David Divrei Yom is all about. It's about something like that, and that's the idea behind it. David Melech's only regret was that he had not humbled himself even more before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only thing. He said to Michal, Einachanami, you're right. I didn't act like a king in front of the Aron Kodesh, and I should never act like a king in front of the Aron Kodesh, because Aron Kodesh is just that special. It deserves me for me to do exactly what I just did in front of it. I believe we're going to have to stop over here. I think we're going to. Yeah, let's stop right here. This is the long parak. Tezayin is the long parak over here. All right, we'll stop with that, guys.